We're going to begin by reading from Isaiah chapter 9. Hopefully a familiar passage. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll begin in verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea and the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Obviously, there we have a wonderful testimony of the rule and reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll continue to consider this as we look at civil government some more. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are yours, and we thank you that you have called us to be your children through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have given us the opportunity that we can consider your word together, and we pray that you would guide and instruct us in your truth, and in all things we might glorify and honor you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, as we've been talking about civil authority these last number of weeks, we are coming towards the end of this. Last week we particularly covered the civil government's authority to tax, and we rounded out that discussion. And so now we're going to come sort of to miscellaneous areas under this heading, and we'll see how far we go here. So we talked about these various areas, certainly that the civil government is given authority in particular to legislate and enforce lawful laws to protect the populace from threats or to wage just war. One of them's escaping me off the top of my head. I don't have the sheet here for it. But also to levy taxes being a third one, but then I'm forgetting. I guess essentially to bring order, to see to the safeguard of the people, something to that effect. We've covered these various areas one by one. What about other areas that are typically thought of as pertaining to civil government, ones perhaps that we even see in play and in force in our own culture? Are these valid or invalid? And we can look at these one at a time in turn. And just building up on the question, what can be rightly delegated to civil government as a power that they would enforce, as authority that they would use? So what are thoughts on that? Can you think of any other areas that are typically brought up?
That we find ourselves currently, or that?
Yeah, currently.
Okay. Vaccines and trying to enforce that through like federal institutions.
Yeah.
The good for your neighbor and whatever. So no, you yeah. shouldn't delegate that. No means.
Yes. Yeah, that's not a power the Lord has given to civil government. They don't have the right to take it to themselves, nor do the people have the right to give it to them.
Exactly.
We do it sometimes. The government will either usurp it or the people will wrongfully give it. But it's not a power that the Lord has given to the civil government. Yeah. Peter?
Large one, right, is currently education is usually viewed as an activity of the state. More of it, at least even the local school district, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
education is another one. We talked about that one at length, too. That there is a proper kind of public education, but it's not the state, it's not the civil government's responsibility. It's just the people coming together and deciding they want to make a set up a school and education for the community at large. But giving that to the civil government is giving it to a body that is not meant to have it. Yeah. I'll come back. I'll come back to him.
Who is it?
Nate.
Oh. If we think about it in terms of they're protecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the part that I feel like becomes fuzzy and confusing is what does it mean to protect the pursuit of happiness? And I think that's where these things have entered, right? Education and these things is like we have to give these to the people if we want them to actually rise to their proper status and being able to pursue happiness and a quality of life that every human should have. How do you start to discern what falls into those categories of protecting liberty and...
Well, I guess it's interesting that you're bringing it up that way, because if we're appealing to like the Declaration of Independence in that regard, then it's not so much that the civil government shall provide for this as much as that these are inalienable rights given by God to the people. So it's not, therefore, the civil government is responsible to see to it that the people have the pursuit of happiness by whatever the civil government does. It means that the civil government is not allowed to infringe upon these things. So the civil government cannot take life, is given the power of the sword to safeguard life in that regard. The civil government is not allowed to take away the liberty of the people that rightfully, naturally belongs to them.
Protect their liberties, or?
As part of the defense of the people, against threats, should protect their liberty. I would say there's a not so much protect their liberties by legislation, in that the assumption should be the people are already at liberty, and legislation is going to necessarily kind of, and you get into like where if you have legislation that has infringed upon it, then you have counter legislation to try and make them be at liberty again, and you can go down that rabbit hole. But in just at base value, the idea should just be, well, the people are free. This law that would be impinging upon their liberty is unlawful, and throw it out. And pursuit of happiness, and Jefferson kind of amends the typical three things. Usually it's life, liberty, property. And so that's kind of what falls under that. And again, the civil government doesn't have the right to infringe upon that. Should have laws in place to safeguard property and things like that. But I guess there's more of a preserving a state of affairs that is supposed to already exist, not so much inventing or establishing a new state of affairs that supposedly is going to perfectly bring this into being. All right, back to... Public works, public works or infrastructure is one that we see a lot. So based on what we've talked about so far with the civil government, is this a Is this a proper jurisdiction of the civil government? Is it something that can rightly be delegated to the civil government? Do we have scriptural examples of this being done by civil government? And what do these scriptural examples potentially teach us? Solomon. Solomon did public works, yeah.
Did he ask for an example?
Yeah. No, he did. The temple and his palace were both things that he certainly was in charge of, was using at least some of the public purse for. So, was that a valid or invalid use of his power? God did tell him to build the temple. Yes, he did.
That's true. But the question is, what did God tell the civil magistrate to do? Right? And so I think that's where we need to say, like, okay, what is it and what is it for? So what is a civil magistrate, right? And what is it for? And what are the parameters to which God has instituted so they can operate well and not be crossing lines that they've been doing? Even, and that also goes for the church and the family. Mm-hmm. They are the government that God has instituted as well. So I think when it comes to like roads, for example, that's a good question. I guess we got
to not clearly given to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, yeah, and Solomon did do that, right? Build roads and the temple and all that. But I guess we do have a specific passage in regards to the civil magistrate and what it's for and what God has told it to do, or what it can do, I should say, right? And so from there, I think we can work. I think that's the starting point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to call it principles or whatever, right? You can go from there, right? So like, is it good for roads? Like, yeah, you know, I don't want to hit a pothole and then get in a car wreck and then I die and then I kill someone else because of that, right? So, you know what I mean? So it's like, what is one commandment when God told us to do? Will preserve life, right? So, I don't know, that's a weird one. You know what I mean? So is it a matter of like someone else then doing that, right?
So I guess the question would be, is this something, as we talked about that civil government's power is in part given directly by God, but also in part derivative from the people. And so there's this element that we don't, I guess the question is this something that God has given them that is part of the people having delegated rightly to them? Can the people delegate this to them as part of the power that God has given to them? Or is this something that just the people have, like we gave example, like the people don't have the right to delegate to the civil government the power of the keys of the kingdom, don't have the power to give them spiritual authority like that.
Right.
They can only give that to a proper body, namely being the church.
Yes.
And so one of these principles we've been establishing is that people delegate their authority that God has naturally given to them on an individual or family level, but they do it to proper bodies, proper individuals. You can't just give it to anyone you want. In the same way, we can't give the power of the sword to the church. We don't have the right to, even though it's those things properly, originally, in a sense, belong to the people. The delegation can only be done to certain bodies. So does this fall under something that the civil government's allowed to be given? The question we're building on. We do have the example of Solomon. I mean, he does it, God tells him to do it. So the question sort of becomes, is this an exception to the rule? Or is this demonstrating that actually this is a proper duty that can be given to a civil government? Or is God just not pleased with the way Solomon did it? That's another potential. Well, I guess Daniel wanted to go first, and then.
Well, I mean, yeah, I want to go first. I guess I would contend that there are gray areas. So the question is, so the answer then becomes it depends. Like, so civil government, let's say, a responsibility for a society that to with some sort of a solution, because otherwise, Wilma would be, rough condition right in front of my house, and then, stuff right down the line for my neighbor. And so there's, just because I don't care about, all that. somebody needs to care about that. But so it's a gray area, and they're for a common good and for society to live in harmony together. I think you could argue that it should be given to some entity. So then it's a question of, well, does the civil government have the ability to do so fairly, rightly, in a way that is not abusing its authority, not abusing, the taxpayer who is funding it? And then can it be rightly delegated? Potentially.
All right.
I'd say there are great things out there. I mean, there's not black and white scriptural.
All right.
As far as the people delegating for Solomon, just back up two generations, and you have Samuel telling the people when they were crying out they want a king, if you have a king, he's going to tax you, he's going to conscript your young men, he's going to do all these things, and the people said, we want a king, we don't care. So, ipso facto, they delegated.
Part of being a... People can wrongfully delegate something that they don't have the right to do. But they did say, we're cool with that.
Yeah.
Though they complain about it with Solomon's son. go ahead, Garrett. I think there's a right principle that the civil government does have an interest in seeing to it that these things are safe and are not a danger to the law. Whether or not that gives them the right to build it themselves is a little bit of a separate question. But yeah, I think that's a good principle to bring out.
We can all agree that it would be good for the government give future wealth that has not been accumulated yet to countries in Eastern Asia and Western Asia. We would all
want
that to be
true.
That's
let me get my flag out.
That goes without saying. That's just the first principle is that tiger.
We do know that it is the government's responsibility to protect people from foreign invasion.
Yes. Yeah, that's an interesting proposition. I think there are other potential answers to that one, like especially if you don't assume that a government has a standing army, do they necessarily need the ability to travel in that manner?
You still need to build with people. Not even if you have a standing army, the individuals will need to move from where they are to form into a standing army to meet the invasion.
Yeah.
But if they're being invaded, isn't it invasion? They ain't going to?
You still have to come together.
You still have to get there to fight them off at the shore, or the border, or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so we look at owners, what the rights of the owners is, and shadows also that shall not steal, and all that under the law, we can see the root of it. If we look into the details, everything is different, but what the root of it, what the cause of it, what was it installed, will give you the idea if it's right for the government to do this, or if not right for the government to do this. There were rights to the property owner, and there were also laws that had to be enforced, which would be the priesthood, maybe the priest, or you know, laws of you know, someone killed someone, you know, the first of king would go after it, or if someone blasphemed against God. There were laws that were installed that wouldn't apply to us right now, but the root of it has the has why was it installed. Otherwise, we'll see things that seems that were broken, like David eating the bread, you know, when he was running away. But what was the root of it? What was the cause of it? That he didn't break the commandment, because otherwise Christ would have said, you know, he wouldn't have defended it with the Pharisees. And so if you look into the root, why was it even installed? Why? What was, you know, defending the role of the government, as Jeremiah said, defending the people. So I think sometimes it seems blurry, but if we go deeper into it, we can find out if it's Hezekiah built it.
Yeah, and there are certainly principles to be adduced and to try and figure this out. I think the problem with this particular question doesn't have a very clear straight line. This is a power forbidden or a power given to the civil government that gives us a very clear principle. We have an example, and so I guess the question becomes: is this approved and is this unique? Well, and there's freedom in Christ for individual, for the people, but I guess not so much for, authorities don't have the right to take power that God hasn't given them, and that's what we're trying to really figure out there.
Yeah, the thing I was wondering when I asked is because infrastructure can be used to justify a lot of things. Like I can see the means for okay, we need roads built, but I had to pay to get my apprentice license to be an electrician. They've never had to wire a house or do anything, but they built roads. Like they can just get their hands and everything if you give them enough jurisdiction. That's kind of
Yeah, you hit one of the other topics I wanted to cover there. We'll come back to that. Jordan?
That's kind of where I was going to go, was regulating commerce and businesses in the sense of licensing and antitrust laws and a number of different ways that they get involved in a transaction between two people.
Well, yeah, so let's come back to that. Let's try and wrap up the public. Let's wrap up the public works discussion. Corbin, you want
to? With the temple, did God say Solomon to tell him to build it, or did he just say he would build it?
I don't know that there's an express black and white command. I think particularly as we look at the... look at the way Chronicles develops this. The idea is that it's not, God isn't just allowing it. He is, he's actively, for example, David is actively restructuring the Levites and giving new, the temple is an amplification of what we find in the tabernacle. It's not a carbon copy. It's adding new things. And it's done... Chronicles highlights that's done by him as a prophet. God has given him these things to do it in that way. So there's a more than just, all right, I guess we'll let you do it. God is expressly inspiring what's going on. And really the First and Second Chronicles are about the building of the temple at the heart of everything and how this is accomplishing God's purposes among his people. So, yeah, I think there's divine warrant.
We do have a direct command to rebuild it when the Israelites return back from Babylon.
Yeah, we do have a direct command, and that's also provided for by the civil government, though interestingly not a believing civil government.
And then you also have the law around Jerusalem, which was a public work, not a necessarily religious work, which was also enforced by the civil government, even if it wasn't paid for them.
So, I sort of put a bow on that. I do struggle for a principle that, from what we've discussed already about the powers of civil government, but I think if we look at these examples of scripture, we do have God approving of, and not just in unique situations, the idea of the civil government doing public works. And that, it's not just, there's a one-time only thing for Solomon. Again, we have it done again in, with the when the exiles return, and not only just for the temple, for the walls. There seems to be a principle even for something like, and the temple, you could argue, should be something that the church would, or the religious community, and that, if you don't want to call it the church, but and the church in the Old Testament should have been providing for, as it's a place of worship and properly under their sphere. But it was broader than that. Understanding there is some overlap between the people as a nation and the people as a church in that time, so it's a bit unique. But nonetheless, the civil government's the one that's accomplishing it in that regard. So there, Scripture seems to give us a that this is something that's allowable, though there, as with anything, there would be limits to it. It wouldn't just be anything the civil government decides that they want to build, they get to build.
So we've kind of talked about the different spheres of authority and whatnot, and most of those things don't overlap, by and large. Would this be something that you would say the civil government can do it, but not necessarily that it cannot be done by anyone else? Like, for example, a couple years ago, Domino's started filling potholes up in the north area because it was so bad that they were like, well, pieces.
Yeah.
So things like that. Like, could we say the government should not prevent people from filling potholes? Or
I think that's, I think that's fair by and large. Like this I would put as not a necessary power of civil government, but as a one that the people can or cannot delegate as they determine. Whereas things like courts and enforcing civil laws and things like that, those are necessary powers of the civil government, and this would be the people can delegate this power if they so choose, but if they retain the power to themselves, they're not depriving the civil government of a function that is that necessarily belongs to them.
I was just going to note that when they're being warned about a king, this isn't actually one of the warnings that, other than you're going to be taxed, but it's not one of the specific things is that, you're going to have, infrastructure built out, throughout your cities and communities, I don't think.
Well, yeah, not so much infrastructure. I think the idea is that they're going to be put to forced labor by the king is the idea.
Well, I don't know that I would necessarily specify that the civil government as an entity should be building all of these things, I think, but contracting and being overseeing public works, I think, makes sense. But more importantly, a question that Jordan just brought up, the spheres all overlap. That's part of how that is designed. What sphere sovereignty is that there is overlap across every one of the church family state to some degree.
And certainly, the people who are governing in all these spheres, we operate and exist in all of these spheres to one degree or another. I would say like there are particular things where you'll see one sphere having an interest in one aspect and another sphere having an interest in another aspect and needing to respect both of those things. I don't think there's a ton of overlap, but there is overlap, yes. So licensing was brought up recently. What do we think about licensing? Is this something that is a proper function of the civil government? I have a no. We're more confident on this one.
All I know is when I go to wire a house, I'll see a government employee trying to help me wire this house.
Or a driver's license?
No, I'm just adding. Yeah,
I'm adding license. Another yeah. example. I'm not saying that's. Hunting
license, fishing license.
Yep. I hold a state regulated license. I don't agree that we should continually pay fees, but again, I don't love licensing. But part of it is to protect the consumer. You don't want just anybody messing with your home water system. They can disappear and are not accountable for anything they did. So it also means for the state to protect the individual consumer. And also, some of it can be a benefit for the trade itself as a protection, almost like a guild protection for the trade. Because if anybody without a license can perform plumbing work, then the value of a licensed plumber is now nothing. And you sure you can say that the market incentives the best guy would prevail.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You brought up a guild, which I think is rather the proper place for this kind of thing, where you have, and this can be all of these things can be abused, but we have the profession itself, sort of policing itself and setting proper standards. The civil government certainly can punish someone who endangers or damages property or something like that, and whether there's licensing or not, if there's someone who's doing something wrong and harmful to the people, it doesn't mean the civil government can't do anything about it without there being licensing. But I do think that licensing is beyond the purview of the civil government, and like driver's license, for example. Like you own a piece of property and you need the government's permission to use it. No, that's not true. Going back to life, liberty, property, being the government doesn't have the right to infringe upon that. As far as someone being qualified to do something we have like the positive examples you've given, but then there's also the negative examples of something like if we're looking at what happened with COVID, where you need to be, not that every, I guess not so much licensing in this regard, but like there becomes an approved idea of what's right, of what's good practice, of what is or is not abuse and whatnot, and that's just the state's opinion, which may or may not be informed by good practice, by whatnot. But now it has the force of law. It has the force that you can now deprive someone of their liberty or their property or perhaps even their life if they transgress it, as opposed to if it exists within a guild circumstance that the people are allowed to do it themselves, then the force of law is not now behind the regulations, the rules that are being adduced in that way. So that's where I would say the civil government just isn't given that ability. It's not meant to be able to do that in that regard. Even though even though there can be uses that can, I think, in some ways prove helpful by doing it. I think there's ultimately more drawbacks and still just usurping a power that they're not given to have.
So I'm with him. So I'm also an electrician as well. And so when 2020 happened, one of the things I remember that a rumor that was happening was that OSHA was going to be the one, a federal institution, going to be the one instituting, you know, like the vaccine and all that. And I knew, like, well, I'm not going to do that, right? But that didn't work out. But I was thinking, like, well, what does that mean at like a local level here in Texas, right? Because I have to go through TDLR so I can get my license, so I can actually work. And you're right. I love what you said, the guilt, right? So I understand what he's saying, right? Because, like, no, it's not good then to deprive this man to provide, right? And all that, right? Because then I don't have the means. Because currently, contextually, like, that's the way that I have my job, because I have my license, right? And so I guess, but the question is, like, what can be rightly delegated to the civil government? So is it then just a matter of delegating that, I guess, a means of regulation, license regulation to another, not so much the civil magistrate, but some sort of entity that there is some sort of accountability? Because you're right, like, I don't want no electrician coming to my house. Well, first, I'm going to do the wiring myself, so there's that, right?
Yeah.
But even plumbing, too, like I ain't trying to, like, Joe Smoke dumb road and do it. Because as an electrician, I see some shady stuff, like, wiring-wise. And I'm sure, like, yeah, this guy didn't know what the heck he was doing. The license at least tells me, like, all right, you've done at least 8,000 hours of experience, and you know how to read.
Sure. So I think, and that's where, yeah, things like guilds can be helpful. But ultimately, like, the civil government, like, this is just an improper delegation to the civil government.
So then is it just a matter of delegating it then to something else, another entity, or
so much the civil government? The guilds, the workers, themselves could have a licensing process that membership within the guild that would have you be recognized requires XYZ things that show competence and
I mean heck, you need a license to cut hair. What the heck? What is that about? Like, bro.
It's the same with almost anything. Like, yeah, if I'm gonna market myself as a math teacher and I'm saying, well, I don't have a degree, but like I know a lot. I just know a lot. Whereas if I have a diploma from somewhere that, so you can still have these things measured and checked guilds or whatever things you do, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, there can be other institutions. It doesn't have to be the civil government.
Yeah, there's still ways to stamp.
You're not, the force of law behind it is the thing where it becomes problematic, especially because, you can actually now deprive people of things that are rightfully theirs based on the civil government saying you don't meet a certain standard, and that's, and also even, like, yes, if you want quality, like, you want, there are good reasons to have something that's showing these lies, but there's also the right of the person to decide that they are going with their friend down the road to work on their property. It's like, that's, if that's something the person wants and they determine is within their best interest, they should have the right to do that. And then if that causes a problem, that causes harm to people, because then there is accountability for that in that regard. But it's still the right for them to do that with their own property.
Or better yet, you just have a community of people where you go, all right, I need an electrician today, I need a plumber tomorrow.
All right,
and
so
know who you're getting.
There you go.
So the last one I wanted to talk about, which we don't have much time for, and that might be a good thing. Immigration.
Had to be the last one, huh?
Well, I opened it up, and people's minds didn't go there for whatever reason. I was thinking, front of mind, boom, here it is. But
first, you know, throughout the bat, it's a matter of national defense, knowing who is entering the country from foreign lands, whether or not they're a positive or negative force. So, at least that aspect of it.
Okay, so a national defense argument for, yeah, this being a proper purview of the civil government, okay?
And at the same time, right, we have express commands to take care of, or to do justice to the sojourner, and I don't see a lot of laws around governing whether the sojourner can be there or not, just what there's behavior, right, of, like, you can't worship, or you can't be, like, actually spreading false gods,
because that's a status right there, right? So whatever land, let's say guy, like, there was laws, right, and manslaughter, right, coming in and all that, so people would know, it's like, okay, well, we know why you're here, right? You're not part of this clan or tribe or whatever, but there's a status, you know, and like he was saying, like, there's certain things that he's not going to be able to do.
Yeah.
So now, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, there's an awareness of, like, okay, this is who we are, right? So as us, well, us being born in America, we are Americans. Like, we're given a status by our birth, right? Someone else outside of it, not born here, but they're not an American. Why is that? They weren't born here, right? But then that obviously is getting to that question, like, how do you go about, like, who's to delegate to that and, like, going in and out, and should there be a process? I don't know, you know?
If there's no reason to suspect that there is a national defense concern, there's no reason to suspect ill will, do we have a right to refuse them entry or refuse them citizenship or make it overly arduous to be here if there's no reason to believe they're a safety threat?
There could still be a cultural threat, though, just like the sojourner is not allowed to practice whatever he wants inside of your land if they're not going to conform
big difference between what we value versus what a lot of other people
value.
We're
just going to use the standard of sort of American founding rather than where we're at now.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just Judeo-Christian value.
You mean you don't want to send trans books to Iran?
Wait, would that actually help us in the long run?
Hey, over there they burn them.
All right, so I guess, do we want to pick this up next week, or do we want?
Yes.
All right.
I think I'm gonna need a recap.
Then I'll keep my mouth shut and let those comments stand for where the people are.
Right,
I guess the one.
Brush up on Rush Dooney.
The one thing I'll say in regard to this, and to keep in mind, is the idea that each community, each nation, what have you, however small the communal unit you want to consider, is effectively is established by a covenantal agreement for what it means to be a citizen in that community, and what the understanding of how the civil government functions in relationship to that community. So keep that in mind in this discussion for informing the way we think about this is the clue I'll give before we revisit this next week. But let's pray, and we'll go. Our Father, we pray that you would bless us as we turn from this study to your worship. We pray that you would humble our hearts before you, that you would cause us to seek your face, that we would rejoice in the salvation that you have wrought for us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and seek to bear fruit in keeping with repentance, that your kingdom would be advanced even by the works that we do by your Spirit. We pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, We pray that we would see Christ by the eyes of faith and that you would conform us more and more to his image. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.